Today we're going to work on Daf Chavav. Let's begin at the bottom of Chaf Heim and Beis by the Mishnah. Motza begal or bekosel yashon, hare elu shelo. Somebody finds a lost object in a pile or an old wall, he may keep it. As she says, motza begal shel avonim, mechomash nofla. This is rubble from a wall that fell. That's what this pile is. The Gemara is going to get into what's going on. Motza bekosel chadosh. If somebody found a lost object in a relatively new wall, mechetzio lechutz, shelo, mechetzio lefneim shel baal habayis. So this wall is a barrier wall between private property and the public domain, and between one side and the other, some type of storage area between these stones, whatever the material might be. If somebody finds a lost object that is halfway of the interior of the wall and towards the outside, so the finder may keep it. If it's halfway towards the interior, towards the private owner, then it belongs to the baal habayis, to the homeowner. Rashi, mechatzio v'lachutz, ve'echad mechori kosel, asmuch l'meshus harabim, with one of the cubby holes type situations within this wall that is adjacent to the public thoroughfare, mechatzio ovishal kosel v'lachutz, if you found it from half of the thickness of the wall and towards the outside, shelo, he can keep it. Damrinan, echam ne'meshus harabim, nasnusham. Why? We say, one of the people coming from the public domain deposited this thing there, mishachach, and forgot about it. It might have been placed there intentionally. One shouldn't take this seemingly lost object. In this case, it certainly was placed there. It didn't just fall there. Somebody put it there. The Gemara is going to explain what's the case of the Mishnah. We're talking about something that is very rusty. And in such a case, there's a presumption that the owner who did place it there has despaired of retrieving it. Im hayu, back in the Mishnah, im hayu maskir lacherim, if the residence was rented out to others, afilu motza besocha bayis, the bach amends, even if the last object was found within the house, reyu shalom, then the one who found it can keep it. Rashi, afilu motza besocha bayis, de lo yadua de maninu, it's not known whose they are, this last object, by the nosho, and whoever originally owned it has despaired of retrieving it. Let's see the Gemara. Tan. Rashi, Gabi Gal, the Kosel Yashon, concerning the case of this pile of rubble from a fallen wall or an old wall, he's able to say to him, Labal Hagal, O Labal Kosel, to the actual owner of this pile of rubble or the old wall, Shalamarim, of the Amorites, Shaharisho Avoseno, this lost object is, as Rashi said before, very old, lots of rust on it. It could say that it was from them, from the Amorites, by the conquest of Joshua. Apparently, this is not just any old fallen wall, some type of archaeological excavation. Adomirim matzni, Yisrael lo matzni. What, only the Amorites would hide things, and Israelites would not put things in a wall. Who told you that it's the Amorim and not Yisraelim? Asricha deshasich tfe. Rashi, Yisrael lo matzni, mechetzu lefnim amai shalo. Why do we say on the half towards the interior, but he's able to keep it? The owner of the house has been using this for many years. Since it's so rusty, it's clearly been left and undisturbed for so long, it's not reasonable to anticipate that what happened was the owner is just holding off till he comes back for it. The owner has despaired of ever retrieving it. A normal owner would not leave his object for so long. He left it that long, so he must have despaired of ever retrieving it. So the one who finds it, we're not concerned that is the owner of the house, this rubble. The object tells us, due to its state, that the owner is not coming back for it. Let's see, Toslos, the Shosik, Vimtoma, Velikni Le Chatsero, Balagal, Balakoso. And if you'll ask, why don't we say that the courtyard, which we saw before, there's a Kinyan Chatser, he's able to acquire through his property as an acquisition for him, Kinyan Chatzer, either as a Yad or Shliach. So why don't we say that he acquires it that way? The one who owns this gal, this pile of rubble from a fallen wall or the wall itself, even though there is such a thing as a Kinyan Chatzer, says Tosus, it will not work. This acquisition from the courtyard will not work if it's something he may never find. Like here, it was deposited, hidden within the thickness of the wall, it may never have been found. So therefore, the kinyan chatzer will not be affected. And nuchach l'kamon, we find this also in Amud Beis, Ditnan, Motza, B'chanus, B'shulchanus, Harei Elu Shalom, Ve'en Chatzer Kona, L'chanveni, Olu Shulchani. You see the Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Beis, that depending on where something is found, it may be, even though it's a store front or a money changer, if it's found not close to the proprietor, we don't say his chatzer acquires for him, even though he owns this storefront, it'll belong to the one who found it. Lefi shamos himdavar katan. So it could be if he finds it on the side where there's a lot of traffic. It also says it may not be found. It's small, and they may not be found. It's hard to picture this today, but normally you'd expect, you know, if somebody dropped a coin, it will be found. But perhaps their flooring was not like our flooring, and this small coin could get lost in a manner that may not get found. I don't know if it's just a dirt floor or if they're planks and things will fall through the planks. Presumption that the object will be found. Back in the Gemara. Bakosel chadosh, a new wall from halfway from the interior outward. Shelo, it's his. The one who found it. Mechetzi lefanim shel bal habayis. And if it's halfway from the interior of the wall towards the house, then it belongs to the bal habayis, the owner of the house. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said that the knife goes after the handle. Meaning, we look based on the positioning of the handle. A person holds a knife by the handle. So you can determine who deposited the knife by the position of the handle. He's going to be holding it by the handle. And the handle, if it's facing towards the outside or the inside of this wall, that will indicate whether it's a knife that was deposited by somebody from the Rishus Rabbim or deposited by somebody in the house. The kisa, basar, shnitzer, and a pouch, some type of, could be containing money or other goods that has handles on it, has straps. Look at which way the straps are. It's going to be holding it that way. So that will be an indication if the straps are towards the outside. It was deposited by somebody from Rishus HaRabim. It was deposited from the house. So the straps will be facing towards the house.
It's like forensic.
Yeah, trying to figure out who put it here. But in our Mishnah, we said, you look at where within this wall it is, halfway towards the outside, we'll presume it came from the outside, halfway towards the house, we'll assume it came from, why don't we just see which way the handle is by the knife case, or the straps of a bag, a pouch. Why are we saying half in the Mishnah? We have other tools, like you said, forensic tools to determine that seem to not be dependent on whether it's on closer to the outside of the interior. The Gemara gives an ukimta for the Mishnah. The Mishnah, which does not employ these clues about how this object was deposited, from which side, is talking about objects that have no clues. Let's see Rashi explaining. A knife that was found in one of these holes in the wall. Basa kato. Azil will go after the handle. I kato gab. B'nei abayis. That's no sham. If we see that it's towards the house, then that will help us determine that the handle facing towards the house was deposited into this wall by people in the house. If it's towards the outside, then we'll determine this handle, the knife was deposited in this wall by people coming from the public domain. That's how it's held. Similarly, this pouch, you look at the handle and that will indicate to you which way came from. So what's the Mishnah talking about? Rashi continues. Some type of shmatos, rags. There's no specific way to hold onto a rag. So that's when the Mishnah says, you look at, is it closer to the interior or the exterior? Plata shel kesef, a bar of silver. Also, there's no clear indication, no right way to hold a bar of silver. So we can't prove based on the positioning of any aspect of this bar, but rather just which way is it closer to the exterior, to the Rishus HaRabim, public area, or closer to the house. That's the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. But an object that does have, like a knife, a handle, or the pouch has straps, something that has other indications, that would be more authoritative than which side it was on. Continuing in the Gemara, Tan im hayakosel mumulahen cholkim. If the wall was filled with them, they divide it, meaning you've got some object filling up the interior of this wall, so it'll be split between the Baal Habayis and the towards the Rishus HaRabim, to the finder. Shita, isn't that obvious? What else would you think? It's fitting in line with the Mishnah. It says you just determine which side it's on. So if it's half-half, obviously, it is necessary. We don't have it as a pshita. Rather, it's necessary to teach us in a case where this hole in the wall is on a slant. What would I have thought? That because it's on a slant, so the fact that it's now is actually not the way it was placed in the wall, because gravity is working towards the side that's slanted. Maybe that will color our view of how to divide it. Therefore, it's coming to teach you, no, we will divide it without considering this as an uneven hole in the wall that could lead to an alternate interpretation of where these objects that were stored there, were they put in evenly or not. We'll say, we'll view it that way, as though it was put in evenly, even though it might not have been because of the slant, and that led it to evenly fill up both sides. Rashi, memula filled, min hachefetz, shemachzik kol roch hakoso, whatever the object is that is filling up the entire interior of this wall, matzricha demishva koso l'chagiso. It's necessary to teach you in a case where you have the wall tilted, mao de teimo chatzegova metchila, maybe you would have said that originally it was not placed that way, and then it spilled out towards the lower side with the force of gravity, and don't divide it half-half. No, we say still divide it half-half. Continuing in the Gemara, if he rented it out to others, even if it was found, the lost object, inside the house, he may keep it. Why is that the case? Why don't we go after whoever was there last? Say that they're the rightful owner. Milotan, do we not have a Mishnah that would indicate that that's the case? Mos, shnimtzu lifnei sochrei behema, money was found before people that sell animals, talking about in Yerushalayim, le'ola meiser. The presumption is that that money has a status of meiser, that's money of a tithe, has to be dealt with in a certain way, purchase food to be eaten betara in Yerushalayim, in a state of purity. Baharabais, if the money was found on the Temple Mount, kulin, the presumption is the money is not consecrated and can be used for whatever purpose. Obi Yerushalayim, b'shayim osashana, in Jerusalem, most of the year, kulin, the status of the money is not consecrated. Somebody finds money in Yerushalayim most of the year, they can do what they want with it. B'shas haregel, but if the money was found over the course of the festival, one of the pilgrimages, Hakol Meiser. So all over Jerusalem, the money was found. The presumption is that it was Meiser money. Again, it's consecrated. It must be eaten. It must be used to purchase something that can be eaten in Yerushalayim in a state of Tara, in a state of purity. So that's various things that are found, what the status is. Amar Shmaya Bar Zeira. My time, Shmaya Bar Zeira explains, what's the reasoning? We're slated to be swept up and cleaned every day. So we say that it's something new. We presume that old things that were lost were recovered and retrieved. This must be something new. Alma Amrinon, Kamai Kamai Azlu. That seems to tell us that whatever was there first is gone. V'hani Achrininu. And these ones that we find now are other ones, not old ones. Alhanami. Why don't we say the same thing in our case? Kama Kama Azlu. The first things are gone. V'hani de Basro. And say, when you find this lost object, the guy's got an Airbnb and he rented it out to somebody, say that he has his place that he rents out cleaned. And if it's something that he found lost, we don't say that it's from an old tenant. Say it's from the most recent tenant. Why don't we do that? Amr Shlokish, Mishum Bar Kapara. Shlokish said the name of Bar Kapara. Kigon, Shaso Pondik L'Shlosh Yisra. What's the case? Where he rented out to three Jews. So you have multiple tenants simultaneously. This indicates to us that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. I feel the Rabbi Yisra, that even if the majority of the passers-by are Jewish, that the finder may keep it. In order to detract from such a decisive conclusion, Rav Menashe bar Yaakov says no, that what would be a case, the owner of this apartment has his Airbnb, and he rented it out to three non-Jews. No proof, but there are multiple tenants simultaneously. You can't say it's the last tenant, because you have a whole bunch of tenants. At the same time, Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba bar Avua, Afilu teim l'shlosha Yisro, Rav Nachman, says in the name of Rabba bar Avua, even say that it was rented out to three Jews. Why do we say that the one from whom it fell will despair of retrieving it? What will he say? Let's see. There was nobody else with me, Bias, at the time. Elahani, just these other fellows. Amri, Kamayo, Kamazimni, Lehadruli. The guy was looking for whatever he lost, and he said multiple times, give it back to me, return it to me. If you find what I lost, give it back. Lehadruli. And they did not return it to him. So the guy who lost it is thinking about what happened. He says, they didn't return it to me. Hashta, Lehadru. And now it's going to be returned. He's given up hope. If they would have intended to return it to me, they would have done it to return it right away. Since they did not return it to me, they intended to steal it, so therefore he gives up. Rav Nachman, the time may. Rav Nachman goes according to his reasoning. Amr Rav Nachman, as Rav Nachman says, Ra'a Sela Shenafa, somebody sees a Sela coin that fell, Mishnaim, from two, Chayiv Lahachzir. He is required to return it. My time, what's the reasoning? The one from whom it fell is not giving up hope of retrieving it. Mema Amar, what does he say? Nobody else was with us. It was just two. So therefore what? Elahai, Nakdile. This one must have taken it. Baminale. Anto de Shikilti. I'll tell him, you're the one who took it. There's nobody else to suspect over here. So he's still anticipating retrieving this last object. Ketchup, go back to Chovav Menalev, back to Rashi's. Before people that sell animals in Jerusalem, that's where the money was found. We say, presumably, it's Meiser Sheni money. In Jerusalem, we said it depends on when. Shaimos Hashana is cool in Beshaserego. It's Meiser. But, if Nesokar Behemo, Leolam, Meiser. Shiro Basar, Nechel Bishlaim, Meiser. Most of the meat that was consumed in Jerusalem, at the status of Meiser, Fisha in Adam, Shoa Bushlan, Achiochokal Astroso, Menosin Mos Meiser Lania ear, Ol Ova Bioshva ear, Verov Hotsos Meiser, Lochin, Behem Behemos Lishlamin. So people would stay in Jerusalem and use their Meiser money, not necessarily stay that long. They would share the money that they had that was still sanctified with Kedushas Meiser. They'd give it to poor people in the city or their friends that are living in the city. Most of the expenditures from Meiser would be used. They would take this money to buy with it animals for Shlomim, for peace offerings. The Gomar Sham Sham Meiser Shlomim, Mishlomim, Meseches Menachos. Bahar Abayis Chulin, if the money was found on a temple mound, it's considered not consecrated. Pilu Bishas HaRegel, this is true even during the festival on the pilgrimage. Bahal Pi Sherov Mos Shabi'ir Meiser, even though we said in Jerusalem, if it's Beregel, it's on the festival, we presume that it's Meiser, not in Harabais. Sholei Regalim Mevi'im Mos, Meiser Seim, L'Achlam, the people that are ascending for the pilgrimage, they bring the money that has the sanctity of Meisers to consume produce or foods that are in a state of purity. In Jerusalem, Lo Shefkinon Ruba Deshato, Vazlina Basa Regel, Elam Rinon, Mifneha Regel Naflu Kan, Mechuvenei. On Harbais, we don't say that this is something that fell now. It's not like the markets in Jerusalem, where there's a regular cleanup crew. So you go after the majority of the time of the year. Most of the times of the year, it's not the pilgrimage. So therefore, the presumption is that the money that was dropped on the Temple Mount is not consecrated. The Yerushalayim, Shar Shvokim, Sheba, in the marketplaces in Jerusalem, during the rest of the year, the status of money found there is not consecrated. Most of the money in the city is not consecrated. Has the status of Meiser. It's been consecrated. At that time, most of the money in the city is presumed to be Meiser. Why are we differentiating between Jerusalem and the Temple Mount? By the Temple Mount, we say most of the year, the money there is not consecrated. So therefore, you find the money in the Temple Mount. You can use it as kulin money. Whereas, Yerushalayim, we differentiate between Shas HaRegel and the rest of the year. We say during the pilgrimage, it's presumed to be Meiser, consecrated, and the rest of the year not. The marketplaces in Jerusalem presumed to be cleaned up every day. swept up, if the money fell there prior to the regel, so before the festival, then whoever is busy cleaning up the streets or the marketplace over here is going to have already found it. There's no need to have cleanings on the Temple Mount every day. So it's not a dirty place. It's not a place. It's smooth. It's not going to collect dirt and dust in a way that requires cleaning. And people don't go there with their dirty shoes or dust on their feet. It's going to be maintained relatively easily without having a daily cleaning. Alma, that is going to be cleaned. We say what was here first is gone, and what we found now is from the most recent people who came. Why don't we say over here also? This guy's got his Airbnb, the Baal Bayis. Say that it belongs to the previous tenant who just was here. Tam Socher Bayis Kushiosi. Habes Kol Zamyoso. A regular property owner. So he's going to check the property, all the corners. He's going to take what's his. Yotze, and go. Say whoever was here last is the one who forgot it. Because most people, they will sweep the place and look for whatever they brought to the house or apartment, whatever it is. And it's the last people that forgot it. If it really would have been lost by the first ones, then the later tenants would have found it. L'shlosha Yisrael, to three Jews, the basachas, at one time. Whoever was the one who lost this object will despair of retrieving it. He doesn't know who to demand it from, because there's Pondik Mokum Sha'ovrim Bishavim Lanim Laila Echrashnaim, a short term rental, place where people, wayfarers, stay there for a night or two. A few Lubrov Yisrael, even if the majority are Jews, the Ovid Lo Samech Lehadronel, he's going to despair and not rely on an assumption that it will be returned to him. Without differentiation between something that has some marking that could be used to identify its rightful owner, prior owner, if the guy is despaired. If the case is of the kochavim, doesn't have to be three, could have been one, but it's just to maintain the similarity. But the case is that it was the last tenant. Afilu teima l'shlosh Yisrael, say even for three Jews. Velo tifshel elaha, say that it's lav dafka, three idolaters, but even Jews. And don't say that it's a proof that the halacha is in accord with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Where do the rabbis disagree with him? That's in a place where there are many people there. This case is different than the area where they disagree, where the person feels there's a huge potential of finders and they weren't able to connect, and he's biding his time till he's able to go and find the person who found it. The guy who lost it is going to find the first person who found it when he announces by the pilgrimage, "I found a lost object." That's not similar to our case over here, where the guy lost it and he knows in his mind, he assumes it was found by one of the other tenants, and he's asking and they're not returning it, so that lends itself to his despair. Amri Gamayo, Amatzuf Nam, I said before that Bahashla Hadri Bitmia. He already tried to get it back and they stonewalled him. It said, "No lost object for you." So if they didn't give it back to him when he asked for it, he doesn't expect it after the fact. So his Miyaj is going to despair of getting it. Now that's actually first, see Tosos, interesting Tosos, the Olam Meiser, the Ein Litlos Demin Hamochrin Naflu. So he said in the case where it's the money was found, Mos Shnimtzu Lifnei Socher Behema, the Olam Meiser, before the people who sell the animals, it's always presumed to be consecrated money. The Ein Litlos Demin Hamochrin Naflu, Kvar Mos Chunhe. You are by the marketplace. We have buyers and sellers. And the money, when it is used to purchase these animals, the sanctity transfers from the money to the animals. The animal becomes miser, miser, kedushas miser, and the money becomes chulinus, nischalu. So why don't you say, maybe the money fell from the seller? And if it fell from the seller, So it's presumably not consecrated. We go after the purchasers. If you look in the marketplace, you have one seller of these animals to many buyers. So you're right, it could be that it fell from the seller and then it would be kulin, not consecrated. But in the ratio of buyers to sellers, you have many more buyers than sellers, and you presume it fell from the majority, and therefore we assert it's presumed to be meiser. It's going to be consecrated, this money. It fell from one of the buyers prior to making the purchase. The mabni adam ve'od, and a separate reasoning. Mukminan luhu achazaka dehave meiser. You have also a presumed status. There's a status quo. The money, presumably whoever dropped it, was meiser. You're purchasing, somebody's going to purchase this animal for the consecration, eating it in a state of purity in Jerusalem. Has the purchase taken place and the money been reinstated as kulin money as non-consecrated money? We don't know if that happened or not, but the presumption is that all the money that's in this area was, or at least the majority of the money, had the status of kedushas meiser, and therefore it was sanctified. Till you know that it was divested of the sanctity, go on the chazaka, the presumption of the original status, and therefore we assume the olam meiser, it is consecrated. The habai is the olam chulin nexosos. If the money was found on the Temple Mount, we'll say that it's presumed to be not consecrated. Vim tomar v'hamrim perak haroi. If you ask a question, the Gemara says in Brochet, with money in his fanny pack, shouldn't take within his bag any money. Kain, nistama shel hekeshen. So therefore, even though most of the money you might have expected would be coming from the people there, if you're not allowed to bring money there, so then the presumption should go the other way. Presume that if there's money on the Temple Mount, it was consecrated money that has a sanctity. Forget about meiser, we're talking about hektish. Be worried about me'ilo. Say that it belongs to hektish. V'naflo min ha'mevi'en l'shchav b'nisan. Say that it was from machzis ha'shekel, or something like that, that people bring in nisan, and that it's consecrated not as meiser, but as hektish. V'yish lomar de'ein osri konis elab mos ha'tsrurim lo b'sadino v'far hasya. What is the prohibition? To go on the Temple Mount with this money stored in his bag in a public way. So the fanny pack that has money, it's out, and he's flashing it around. That is what's prohibited. Then near it, it looks like he's carrying the money to engage in business. And that is disrespectful. And even though he might be bringing money in Nisan for hektish, to do it in a way where the money is exposed, or he's got it outside, so that is prohibited. But if it's in his hand, he could take money even if it's not consecrated, even if there's no intention to bring it for hektish. He can bring kulin money onto Har HaBayis, just not in a way that's farhesia, not in a public manner that's flashing the money. So therefore, the presumption, according to what Tosafot is saying, the presumption is he's doing that. He's doing what's permitted. We're not assuming that there's money coming from illicit activities. The presumption is he's carrying the money in his hand in some way that is not exposed, and therefore fell in such a means. But there's no assumption that it was designated to be given for the mikdash as hektish, nor as meiser, and presumably it was chulin. So that's the hasber. He's not fully restricted from bringing money on the Har HaBayis, but only in a way that's farhesia. That's Tosfos. Let's continue back on Amud Beis. Amar Rava, Hadam b'shlosha, eino chayav lahachzir. That which was stated that if it was, let's say b'shlosha. No, let's go back to the Gemara earlier. B'shlosha. So the original Memra we said from Rav Nachman was that if he saw a coin of a seller that fell from two, he has to return it because the one who lost it knows who the culprit is. It's the other guy he's walking with. He's going to shake him down to get it back. B'shlosha, that's five lines down, if there were three walking, and a chayav lahachzir, then the finder does not have to return it. My time, what's the reasoning? The one from whom this sela fell, he is certainly going to despair of retrieving it. What will he say? Let's evaluate. There were two people with me. If I will approach establish for this one. Oh, Milosha killed it. He's going to respond. I didn't take it. The Nakit nor Lahai, if I say, oh, must have been the other companion. You must have taken it. Oh, Milosha killed it. He's also going to deflect the charge and say, no, I didn't take it. So each guy has an alibi. Says, hey, there's somebody else who could have taken it. Leave me alone. Don't think that I took it. He won't know who to really shake down. Doesn't know who took it. So he despairs of getting it back. Omar Rav. Let's see Rashi, actually. He cannot make him take an oath because he's uncertain. That's not an option. Only certain cases can somebody adjure another with a case of doubt. But not here. He'll ask a question. It was before Yush that it came to his hand. So we say that the person is going to discover his loss right away. So therefore, it's not going to be Yushlomidas. That which we qualified and said, if the Sela was seen falling from three that were walking together, then the finder doesn't have to return it. That's only talking about where this coin does not have the equivalent value of a Shava Pruta for each of the people walking. Well, if what fell had a Shava Pruta, is Be Shava Pruta L'chol Chai V'chad for each individual, Chayv L'Hatzer, then he is required to return it. My time, why is that the case? Amar, Shuvininu, say that they are partners. The Lomi Asho. And if they're partners, they are not going to despair of retrieving it. Rashi, Amar, Shuvininu, say they are partners. Beselazu, in this coin, Ne'manim Zelza, and they believe each other. They're partners. Ve'ne'echad Choshet Eschavero Bechelko. And one friend does not suspect his other friend to be stealing from him. When he notices that he's missing money from his wallet, he's not going to despair. What will he say? One of my partners found it. Now that he's saying, hey, right away, he feels that he dropped something, he checks his wallet, missing a coin. He says, hey, partners, where's the money? So he thinks they're just playing a practical joke on him and saying, oh, what money? We didn't find any money. But they're just trying to bother him. That's why they're being quiet. But really, one of them found it. That when this fellow who finds it picks it up, it came to his hands before the owner despaired. Even though this coin is something that there's no sign, no special indication of who the owner is. It's a generic coin. Still, the finder is required to return it. But if you do not have the value, minimum value for a Shavas Aveda is a pruta. So if you do not have three prutas, manusha, then we'll say, regardless, if they're partners, then there's no requirement to return it because the value that accrues to each owner is less than a Shavas Pruta, and there's no requirement to return it. And if it was fallen from an individual who is not owning this in partnership, or if it fell from the two, they despair. They'll say that the person we're walking with, he's a thief, and he's just deflecting. So in a case where you do not have a Shavar Pruta for each one, so then we do not have a Chiyuv of a Shavar Saveda. Amar Shudfinino, say they are partners. And they believe each other. When the guy who finds it after walking after these three, so if they are partners, they're not suspecting each other. The partners are not suspecting each other. When the guy finds it, he's finding and picking it up before the despair sets in. My time, if there's a Shavar Pruta for each one, he's obligated to return it. What is the reasoning? Amar, say they are partners. And they're not despairing. That's the first version. There's an alternate version of Rava's statement. Amarava, Avagav de les be ela shavash de prutos. Even if it's not worth three prutos, one for each person, but only two. So the Chomer, Chayv Lachzer, still the one who finds it walking, trailing these three, is obligated to return it. My time, what's the reasoning? Amar, what will What should be said? We should say, Shutovininu, they are partners. Echad, minayo, ochle, achle, lemanose, gabachadre. And one of them was mochel, his portion to his friend. So therefore, even though you don't have, you only have two prutas and three partners, has ceded his rights in this money to his partner. And therefore, the partner who is the recipient of that has a full pruta. And that's a possibility. Interesting that we're worried about such a possibility. And that's a chumrah, Rava saying, in such a case, still, the one who found it must return it because of that possibility. Rashi, that's, we don't have more Rashis over here. The Rashba points out that we don't say that that is a concern, that multiple shutfim will be mochel and cede their rights to the third shutif. So we don't say this twice. That's why it says two prutos, because we're not, even if maybe one relinquished it less of an expectation, and that's why it says shtei prutos. Rava sala shenafla. Rava says that if he saw a coin that fell, natla lefnei yush amanas, if he took it before the one who dropped it has despaired of recovering it, and he took it with intentions to keep it, to steal it, over bekulam, he's in violation of all three. Mishum lo sigzal, one violation for not stealing, he has stolen. Mishum hashav tashivim, he's also violated the injunction to return the lost object. Mishum lo suchul esalim, and the third violation, the Torah says you shall not turn a blind eye, and he did. Aval gav dechazra lachar yush, and even if he did return it, he felt bad about what he did, and he gave it back after the fellow who dropped it despaired. Montana diavli, it's considered a gift that he's giving to the one who lost the object. Visur David Avad, and the violation that he did has been done. Not lefnei yush, amnasach zero. If he took it before the one who lost it despaired, with the intentions to return it, so when he picked it up, he had good intentions, not like the previous case. After he sees the guy wringing his hands, despairing of ever getting it back, now he intends to keep it. Now he's in violation of the obligation to return it. She'll surely return this lost object. He waited until the owner despaired, and then took the object. Then the only violation that he is engaged in is the prohibition. You shall not turn a blind eye. He was waiting till he saw the guy despair. Then he went to pick it up. He violated lo sucha li salim. Ashi, ra sela shenafla. If he saw the coin fell, luga sinu mishnai. Not talking about from two, talking about from one person. Not lifnei yush. If he took it, the finder took it before the loser despaired. He didn't wait the amount of time, even though it's pretty frequent that he checks his wallet. Didn't wait that long. Right away picked it up. Mishum hashav tishivim. He's in violation of the obligation. He shall surely return the object, the lost object. Lo sigzol, lo shayach, of shas netilo. The violation of stealing is only at the time that he takes it. Kamo vayigzol es achonas mi'ad ha-misri. Like the classic case of gzela is grabbing the spear from the Egyptian. That's in an act of assault of war. That is classic gzela. Yida amar babakamo. Lo suchol es alim. What is the violation? That you shall not turn a blind eye. Ein azhara ella lekoveshes einov. That is one who holds back his eyes, who nimna milahatzel. He holds back from saving. Instead of returning it, he's going to do something else. Hilkach hanotla amnas lahaser. Therefore, one who took it with good intentions originally to return it, l'achayush neskaven lagozla, after the one who lost it despairs, then the one who found it changes his mind and intends to keep it, to steal it. And kind of miss Alan. You don't actually have a case where he turned aside and didn't, he hid his eyes, as it were, from this last object. But what you do have is the violation of the obligation to surely return the last object. Mishanotol ad sheshvena. From when he takes it until he returns it. Himtin lo, v'sha shira osa, v'lo notla lechzira. He waited the time that he saw it and did not take it to return it. Over. He's in violation of, you shall not turn a blind eye. Because he turned his eyes away and did not take this object right away to return it. Let's see, Tosfos, back on the first case where he said, Matana ba'alma hudi yavle, that it's a gift. Even though he decides to do tshuva, The Gemara says it's considered a gift that he gives back to him his lost object. Says Valo, why do we say that it's considered a gift? Why don't we say that he's rectified the violation of Losigzol? The prohibition against stealing is called Nitaklase. That means when he fulfills the obligation of returning that which he stole. So the prohibition is undone. The positive command to return that which is stolen, he stole it. He's undoing his stealing. It's Nitaklase. That's what the Gemara says in Chulin. So why don't we say that over here? Since concerning the violation of stealing, it's not considered a gift. Why don't we say that he has also rectified the violation of Hashav Teshivim? He didn't return it originally, but now when he's giving it back, don't say it's a matana, don't say it's just a gift. Say that he's been menatek Hashav Teshivim. Tosos believes the Kasha very strongly. He says, Enochanami. When it says it's a matana ba'almo diyovle, it's just a gift that he is giving him, that's only going on one of the three lavin. That's going on the prohibition that losuch alisal, one of the three violations, you shall not turn a blind eye, that he violated when he did not return it before the one who lost it despaired. And that is the only one that it's considered as though he's giving a gift now, and we don't say that it's been rectified now that he's giving it. But Tosus holds up the kasha, and he says, this returning actually does undo gzela and hashav teshivim. And it's only for the prohibition of losuch lesalim that we view this restoration as just a gift and not undoing that prohibition. Back in the Gemara, Amar Rava, Ayman dechazi denofal suze mechavre. Another teaching from Rava. Somebody sees that some zuzim fell from his friend, Beichilto, in some sand dunes. Ashkeche. He found it, Beshakle, and he took it. Lo mechayv ladurele. He is not obligated to return these zuzim, these coins, to the guy who lost it. My time, and what's the reasoning? The one who lost the zuzim, these coins, has despaired of retrieving them. Even though he sees the guy sifting through these sand dunes, does not look like he's despaired. What is he saying to himself? So just like I lost something going over here, and I'm searching through the sand dunes, somebody else also lost something here. So it looks like a good place to lose something. I'm bringing my sifter to go through the sand, and hopefully I'll find something. But he actually is despaired of retrieving what he lost, and now he's just going on a search, hoping to find some lost treasures, but he's not really confident that he's going to get anything that he lost. A sifter. Mishnah. Matza b'chanus, if he found lost object in a store, arei lo shelo, he can keep it. Bein atev lechen v'ni, shelchen v'ni. If what was lost was found between the checkout area and the shopkeeper, shelchen v'ni. If it's in the area where the checkout person is, so it belongs to the shopkeeper. Lifnei shulchoni, if it's found before the money changer on the other side, so he can keep it, the one who finds it, that's where the customers come in. So that's in that area of the shop. The finder can keep it. But if it's between the seat where the money changer sits and the money changer, so it's on his side of the shop, so then it is belonging to the money changer and it must be restored to him. If somebody purchased fruits from his friend, oh, shashil chavera peros, or if his friend sent him a gift of fruits, umatza ben mos, in this package of fruits, money, arela shalo, he could keep the money. Ima yisruin, notul machers. But if they were bound up, this money was stored in a specific fashion, he needs to take it, the one who found it, he needs to take it and announce the loss, and he cannot keep it. Rashi. Motza b'chanus, arela shalof, he found it in a shop, he can keep it. Dovish ha'in b'simen, talking about something that does not have a clear indication that the owner could identify. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Dahu d'nafal minei miyash, the one who lost it despairs of retrieving it. Shakol nechnas masham, everybody goes busy shop, and he's not going to be able to say it was my $50 bill. Everybody's 50 looks the same, essentially. Mo shenosin lo, nosin l'teva, v'lo nafal shum davar, It depends on the location. If it's in the place where the shopkeeper is sitting, in that area, it clearly fell from his hand and not from the traffic coming into the shop. Shulchani, the money changer, Machlif Moos, the one who exchanges money. Menosin, Mabeosov, Bashokhan, people put the money that is before him. Baboin, Mahachlif, Afhe, Nosmir, Sham Osan. People who come in to exchange their money also put on the table. Arelo Shalo, he's able to keep it. Damrinon, Minaboin, Naflu. We say that in a location where you have a lot of traffic, so that money was left from people that are patrons of this money changer shop. That's enough that fell from them. Sharei Ashulchan Mafsik Bein Shulchan Almos is a barrier between the money changer and the money that were found. So that money presumably came from another patron. There's no sign, no indication. Lots of people coming in and going. V'min Ashulchan Enoflu Ailem Motze Beino L'kisei Sheshulchan Mochalo. If it fell from the money changer, it should have been over there by the between him and the chair and the table where he is setting up shop. And if it was found there, so then you have to give it to him. Alokeach peros mechavero. Somebody purchased fruits from his friend. Farshu Gemara's explain the case over here. Ima yitzrun, if they were bound together, v'simin, that is an identifiable marker, the way it was bound together. Oh, kesher omin eshbehem. Either they were tied together with a certain knot that he can identify, or if there's a certain amount, say, yes, it was exactly $83. So he has some way of describing this package in a way that's unique. So that's a simon. That's an identifying marker. The one who lost it is not despair. The one who found it has to announce that he found such an item. Interesting. Mordechai, speaking about a case that came up, let's see, in simon Reish Nun Ches, talking about this idea of a chatzer. We saw the property, Tosas mentioned. Chatzer shel adam konalo. By the case of chaluda, we're not going to say that the courtyard acquires the object for the owner of this pile of rubble or this old wall, this very old artifact, so rusted, like an archaeological find. Why? Shalomidaita. It's not from his intention to acquire such a thing. Zochabo rishonim shekono koso vagal, and the earlier ones that purchased the wall or this pile of rubble. Given to Ain, Dabar Ahove, Kishar Metzius. This is rare. It's not something that is expected, like other findings. Hanim, Avaim Lovel. Those occasionally come. Lo Zachabo. In such a case where it's an anomaly, so we don't say his chotzer, his kinyan, he will make an acquisition from the fact that he owns this courtyard. Kishikano, when he purchased the chotzer, when he acquired this courtyard, he didn't even think to acquire some hidden treasure over there, some archaeological find. Therefore, he didn't acquire it. He only acquires something that he wants to acquire. Something that there was no intention of the seller to sell. And the buyer had no intention to purchase, to acquire. So he does not acquire it. So the chatzer mirrors his own acquisition, and if he has no das, it's not going to work. There's no intention. The courtyard will not work for him to acquire from. Hachanami, ein hakone malalibo liknos matmonos. The purchaser, or the one who seeks to acquire, had no thought that he's going to get some treasure over here. Hilka chatzer nami lo zochile. He cannot use a kinyan chatzer to say he owns it. Matatli agav mekarkai nami lo aknele. He can't use a kinyan agav of karko. Dugumoso maisel achsandros mokton. Hai omar aras min simu lo zunai. Hai omar aras min zmatot loch. Okay, so now the Mordechai brings a story. Maisel be'echot shikona bedil minot bekocho. There's a story. Somebody purchased some tin, so he thought, from an idolater. Chasos gakol, he wanted to fix up his roof, covered in tin. Beshuv nimloch, umachol Yisrael chavero, becheskos b'dil. And then he changed his mind. He says, you know what? I'm not going to work on my roof now. And he resells it to his friend, a Jew. So one Jew sells another Jew what each one thought was tin. Cheskos b'dil. V'nimsa shekulu kesef miftin. And it comes out, the second guy is interested in fixing his roof over here, plating his roof with tin. When he starts working on it, he sees almost the entire metal here is actually silver. The interior is silver. It was just plated with tin. And the guy who sold it, the Jew who sold it, said, he says, I deserve to be compensated. I sold it to him at the price of tin, but it's basically almost all silver. So he owes me because he ripped me off. Upatro Avi Ezri. Avi Ezri ruled that the purchaser does not need to pay any more money. He says, the one who purchased it from the idolater did not actually acquire the silver. He had no idea there was silver there. He had no intention to acquire silver. He thought he was acquiring the tin. It got a little bit on the outside, but the silver he had never actually acquired because there's no intentionality to acquire it. The Hodler Ben Atam agreed to this psak of Avi Ezri. Chen Ira, another mice over there. Al Koponim, here we see that the idea in the Mordechai is that there needs to be intentionality for a chatzar, something that we would never entertain as being part of the acquisition. That's both for chatzar and for other kinyanim. He needs to have thought going into the acquisition that he is acquiring this. So since the purchaser did not know there was any silver here, when he sold it again as tin, so the purchaser of the what they thought was tin is actually finding an aveda. It's a metzia. He's finding a lost object and he's acquiring it now, but he does not need to pay. Oh no, it's interesting. Meaning, okay, so there's no no, but maybe there should be bitul mekach. How much was the value of the tin that was actually sold? And the guy sold just a plating of tin, and the purchaser thought he was getting the full thing of tin. If you say, maybe the ripoff is the other way. I don't know. They don't see anybody talking about that. Maybe the guy who found the silver should be able to claw back and say, you know, you sold me 10 pounds of tin, but it was only plated. You have to pay me back for all that that was not plated, that you ripped me off. I ripped you off. You ripped me off. You say that the kesef is an aveda and it's a mitzia, and he's acquiring it independent of the seller. So I didn't see that discussed, but logically, could be that it would switch if that was actually the case.